Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Program call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a great call planned for you. The call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. And to ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. Now, a great place to be on the internet during the call today is out on Facebook, and you can join me out in the Sales Technology Training Program group. Go there now and look for the pinned post on the page. And let me go ahead and add a comment there myself. And let's set a goal today of 30 comments. So let me just add a quick note here. Comment goal, 30 comments. And I encourage you to go out there and share your takeaways as we go through the content on the call today. Now, a quick announcement before we get started. I want to let you know about an event that's coming up next week, and that is on October 8th. I'm doing a free webinar that's on how to create an information product. And so that's October 8th. And if you'd like to register for that, let me give you the link. It's in the email that I sent out earlier today. And just go to socialmediaoutcomes.com/infoproduct, socialmediaoutcomes.com/infoproduct. And, you know, information products are a great way to create an additional source of revenue. So if you are interested in being able to earn more money online, then that's a great way to get started. By the way, that webinar is on Wednesday, October 8th at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And again, the link is socialmediaoutcomes.com/infoproduct. All right. Now, a couple other quick details before we get into our content for today. You can access the recordings of the calls out on our membership page. And again, the link is in the email message that I sent out today along with the notes. The Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. And there are 12 modules of content. And today we're covering the module on appointment setting emails. Appointment setting is all about how do you get in front of more people and, you know, with an opportunity to deliver a sales presentation. You want to be able to, you know, have enough opportunities where you're getting business to where you have enough revenue coming in. And you might want to start by simply thinking about how many appointments that you want. So how many appointments do you want in your business? How many appointments do you need to have on a weekly basis? A simple example would be to have one appointment per day. If you had one appointment per day, that would be 5 per week, and that would be 20 over the course of the month. And you also have to remember that not every appointment that you set will actually go through. And sometimes you set an appointment, and you show up, and the other person doesn't, whether that's meeting in person or whether that is meeting over the phone. And so you always want to set more appointments than you actually need because your results, you know, what you're going to calculate based on your results is going to be based on how many appointments that you actually have. And so in the example that we use there, if it's one appointment per day, 20 appointments per month, then what's your closing ratio? Well, if you're only closing 10%, then 10% is 1 out of 10. If you did 20 appointments, you would close 2 sales. So how much are, you know, what is the average revenue that you're earning per sale? That's going to help you to forecast what revenue that you earn in your business. And obviously there are things that you can do. You can improve your results on your appointments. And a great resource for that, by the way, is to learn from Eric Lofholm. Eric Lofholm teaches an excellent approach to persuasion and influence called the Sales Mountain. And he also teaches clients how to utilize sales scripting in their business. Now, we've been talking about setting appointments for a few weeks now. And have you shifted your mindset yet around setting appointments? Have you shifted your approach in how you're actually, you know, working to set appointments? What I want to do today is dig in more specifically about how to actually schedule appointments by utilizing email messages. So email is a great way to communicate with people on your email list. So what system are you using for email marketing? How often are you sending out email messages? how many people are on your list. You want to take a look at how you can leverage email marketing in your business. And so in this particular technique, we're talking about specifically how you can use email as a way to book more appointments. Now, by the way, if you've had any shifts in the way that you've been looking at appointments, go ahead and post those out in the Facebook group. Go to the Sales Technology Training Program Facebook group and go ahead and post a message there and let me know what kind of shifts that you've had. What have you, you know, what kind of perspective do you have around setting more appointments? Now, why use email in particular to set appointments? Well, first of all, it's just one approach. There are a lot of different ways that you could set appointments. You could pick up the phone and call people. You could go out to events and meet people and then follow up by phone or by email, sending just a one-off email message to ask them to schedule an appointment with you. And you know, one of the challenges that people have through email is that they send out an email message, and then as people are responding back, then they have to play email tags. So they might say something like, I've got a couple times on my calendar for the next week, X, Y, and Z. And the person responds back and says, okay, what about X? And then you check your calendar, you go, oops, that one's already been booked since the last time I sent the email, so I better respond back with a couple more dates. And so now you have to go back and forth and play email tag. You have to do the same thing by phone, too. If you call and leave a message and they call you back and leave a message, you're going back and forth trying to set an appointment. So there comes a point where you want to look for a better way to leverage technology to set appointments. Now, let me talk about writing an email message that will help you to book appointments. So first of all, let's just talk about some effective email strategies when it comes to writing messages that will create results. The style that I use for messages is kind of a plain text message, as we were just writing an email message to a friend. I do shorten the text. I limit myself to about 50 to 70 characters per line. That's about maybe 4 to 5 words or so to make it easier to read. Another tip is to write in a breezy and conversational style. So write just as if you were sitting down over a cup of coffee talking to a friend. Keep the message short overall. It's a good idea to keep it short. You know, some of my messages run a little bit long, but, you know, you can vary your approach. Some messages short, some messages long. See what kind of different results that you get. Avoid corporate speak. So, again, just try to talk from a personal standpoint with them. And then make one clear offer when you're sending your message. And in this case, it's an offer to schedule an appointment. And so you want to think about, what is the next step going to be? What do you want to ask them to do? And one of the techniques that I use when I send an email message is I just simply ask people to respond back by email. So rather than just having them go and book the appointment automatically, I ask them to respond back. And the reason that I do that is because I want to know who's interested. If I know who's interested, now, and let's just use an example here. Let's say that you had 1,000 people on your email list, and you sent out one message to 1,000 people, and then 10% of those people opened the message. That would be 100 people. And then out of the 100 people, then 10 people were interested in scheduling an appointment. And so those 10 people sent you an email. So now you would have essentially 10 leads out of 1,000 on your list that you know are interested in scheduling an appointment. Now you can follow up with them in one of multiple ways. And by the way, one of the ways to do that is to utilize an online scheduling tool. There are different software tools that you can use, such as Appointment Quest and TimeTrade, which allow you to send out a link, and then people can go out and schedule an appointment on your calendar. And that's a quick way to do that. Then in your email message, you can include multiple calls to action. So you might indicate a couple times how to reach you. And by the way, when I send out my email messages, I often include a PS statement. So I'll have the initial part of the email message. I will conclude the email with a short signature, an email signature. Then I'll have a PS where I might repeat the offer again and include a second call to action or a third. And then that just reminds people as they're scrolling through and reading your email, you never know at what point they're going to decide to do something. And so you want to give people a couple of opportunities to see what exactly you're asking them to do and then to respond back. Now, you could also just include the link directly in there. So if you have an online link that somebody can use to schedule an appointment, you could include that link. What I found, though, is that sometimes when people click on the link, they get into it and they realize it's going to take them a few minutes to do it. They've got to go through and they have to, look at their calendar and then look at the other calendar and fill in the details. And so they might decide not to do it right then. But unfortunately, you don't know if they're interested. That's why I like having people email me, because then I know they're interested. Now I could pick up the phone, I could send an email, I could record a video just for them and send it to them. I could reach out through social media, send them a private message on Facebook or LinkedIn. So I've got like multiple ways that I can reach out to them. I could even mail out a postcard and encourage them to schedule an appointment. So once I know that somebody's interested, then I can follow up, and that's so important. So, sometimes it's good to use a low-tech method just to find out who's interested, and now you know who to follow up with. So you really have to create desire for people to want to talk with you, because people don't just naturally want to, talk with you. You've got to give them a reason. For one, they might feel like, this is just a sales opportunity, and so what value am I going to really get? So you really have to break down the value and explain how they're going to benefit from that. Get in the mind of your customer. Get in the mind of your customer. You want to think about what is it that they want? What are they struggling with? What are their problems? What are their challenges? What's preventing them from moving forward? And then target your offer around that. And by the way, one of the things that I've done is I have multiple strategies over time to schedule appointments. So I don't just have like one method of, hey, do this kind of universal, strategy session or something like that. I come up with different sessions, strategy sessions for different purposes. In fact, probably within the next couple weeks, I'll be sending out an email message inviting people to schedule an information product strategy session with me. And that will be an opportunity to talk about ideas that they can use to create an information product in their business. So think about it from your perspective. What is it that you can offer your potential customers? Because see, for mine, many of my clients are coaches, speakers, trainers, and consultants. So in a lot of cases, they're trading hours for dollars. They're looking for ways that they can generate more income in their business without having to work more. Because typically, if you sign up a client, like a coaching client, then the work just begins. That's the beginning point. Now you have to coach them over time. So by creating an information product, you have a way to be able to generate revenue over time. You create it once, and then you could sell it over and over and over without any additional effort. That can be very valuable. Consider inserting a testimonial or customer story. Consider inserting a testimonial or a customer story. So in the actual email message, and this might be an idea overall that you could use in emails. Have you ever thought about putting testimonials in your email messages? I include testimonials in my email newsletter that I send out. I have one testimonial in every newsletter that goes out. In fact, my next newsletter is going out tomorrow, on October 1st. You might want to keep an eye out for that. But you could check in there, and you can see I have testimonials that I include in there. I call it client raves. Client raves, like clients are raving, about being satisfied. So think about how you can leverage testimonials in your email messages. State your expertise. What expertise do you have? What I will often do in email messages is I will break down and list out a number of the experiences that I've had or results I've gotten or things like that. Just list out the different things. I might list out books that I've written or presentations that I've given, just kind of give them a quantity of the different types of things that I've done. And so they have a sense of the variety of the ways that I work with clients. So stating your expertise helps to position you as an expert and create desire for people to want to talk to you. Now, let me run through the components of a marketing email. And this would be true for appointment emails as well as other types of emails. So first of all, you have the subject line. The subject line is the first thing that people see even before they open the email message. And for that reason, that makes subject lines very important. Gives people a reason to want to open up that email message and read it. Then once they open it up, you have the greeting. In most of the emails that I send out, I usually start it with hi and then the person's name. Hi, Joe. And so I'm greeting them directly. Because I'm sending out a message in mass, I have to use a merge code. So in my email marketing system, I can plug in a field for the first name. And so it says hi, and then it inserts the person's name in. Then next is the introduction, which is the kind of the first opening paragraph in the message. And it could be a couple paragraphs in the beginning. But before you get into your offer or whatever it is that you want to share, you'd want to lay the foundation. So, for instance, in the email that I'll send out on offering an information product strategy session, I need to first talk about the benefits of having an information product. I need to, create interest, create desire for people to even think about it. And so once I put them in that state of mind, then I can switch gears and I can start talking about what it is that I want to offer them. So then you have your body copy, so whatever is in the body of the email. And, that could be sharing more details about what it is that you're going to offer. You want to talk about the benefits. What are the benefits they're going to get? And in this particular case, it's the benefits of the appointment. What are they going to get from having an appointment with you? Then you might want to include social proof. You might want to include testimonials or stories in there. And then state the offer. And, you may have previously explained the offer, and now you're just restating it, and then you follow it with a call to action. So what is your call to action? Are you asking them to click on a link? Are you asking them to email you? What's the call to action? And then the closing. What are you going to say before you close out the email? I usually end my emails with "to your success," but you could pick some kind of a catchphrase or something like that for you to use. And then include your email signature. So in my email signature, I usually put Rick Cooper, online marketing and social media trainer. And then I put PS. And then I include something else. So I'll either add on and share more details, or I'll expand upon a concept, or I might share my expertise there, or something else, and then a final call to action. All right, let me pop out on the Facebook page real quick. I want to encourage you to join me out in our Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program. And we have a goal for 30 comments today, and we have 22 comments so far. So great job. It looks like Roy is leading the charge out there. Susan is also jumping in, Susan Schlieff. So thanks for posting out there. I'll pop out there and read some of the email messages in a few minutes. Now, let me talk about a little bit more about the process of automating setting up appointments. So last week we talked about opt-in forms, specifically for email messages. So opt-in forms are all about having a web page where people can go out and opt into your email list. So that can help to automate the process. You could send the email and you could send people out to an opt-in form. So that might be another option for you. That's also a great strategy if you're leading there from elsewhere. Like if they're not already on your email list, you could lead from a blog post or lead from social media to a web page where they can opt in. Also, if you're following up with people from events that aren't on your email list yet, you can send them an email and encourage them to schedule a session with you. So send them out to a web page with an opt-in form. And then a couple things will happen then. They fill out the form. They opt into your email list. We send them or redirect them to a success page and then send out an autoresponder email. So on the success page and in the autoresponder email, you could include a link out to some type of an online scheduling service like Appointment Quest or Time Trade or other services. and then people go out there and they schedule their appointment. That's a process of automation. See, you know, sometimes I think people think that to automate a system, you need to buy some kind of an, you know, automation system or something like that. And there are actually a ton of different tools that are available on the internet, by the way, where you can automate processes. There are tools just for integrating different systems together. In fact, I'll give you one you can go check out. So if you have, you know, systems all over the place and you want to find some ways to tap into them and tie them together, there's a website called Zapier, Z-A-P-I-E-R, Zapier.com. And that is a site that helps you to automate systems. But just having an email marketing system gives you an opportunity to automate a system. Because it's like it's kind of like the domino effect. If you've ever seen and watched one of those videos online or seen it on TV where they've got all the dominoes lined up, and then there's the guy who stands right at the front, and he puts his finger on the first domino, and he tips it. Hits the domino, hits the second domino, and the second domino hits the third domino, and the third domino hits the fourth domino, and it just goes out, and all these dominoes go. That's a great analogy for the concept of automation, because oftentimes automation is takes that one point where you get it started, that one domino you knock over, and then it sets into process a whole set of events. And you can take different processes and systems in your business and you can automate them. So it's not just a matter of having one automated process. You might have tens or dozens or hundreds of different processes that you automate. In fact, every time I set up a webinar or a teleseminar, I automate the process. So I create a registration page. People fill out the form to register. And that opts them into my email list, and it sends them to the success page, and it sends out an email message. And that's the end of the automation. There's not anything else that's on there. That's not to say that you couldn't set up additional things. So, you know, who decides what the actual automated process is? Well, it's you. You have to figure out what it is that you want to accomplish through the automation. So you could very well have an email message that goes out that would include a link to TimeTrade where people can go and schedule an appointment. And, you know, another way to look at automation is it's a way to get things off your plate. So it's setting up a system, and there's still some work that has to be done. The other person has to go out and book the appointment with you. So it's freeing you up so that you don't have to be the one doing that. Or you don't have to hire somebody to do that for you. It's extremely expensive to have labor. You know, have an employee who's, you know, on full time, who's following up to schedule appointments. You know, for some businesses that makes sense, like a doctor's office or something like that. They have a person, a receptionist on staff. They can take phone calls. They can schedule follow-up appointments with people. They need somebody at the desk. But when you're a virtual business, you know, you don't necessarily have to have employees. But that's not to say that you might not hire somebody else to help you implement a certain process or help you with a certain area of your business or delegate something to get it off your plate. So you want to think about ways that you can save time, energy, and effort. All right, let me share some tips for writing effective subject lines, and then I'll pop out and start reading some of the messages out in the Facebook group. So that would be a great time if you have any questions to go ahead and post those out in the Sales Technology Training Program group. All right, effective subject lines. Be descriptive. You know, explain what it is that you're offering. Create curiosity. Curiosity is great to get people to want to open the email message. So I'll just come back to the example, like for the email that I send out related to information, the information product strategy session, I've got a couple different approaches that I could take. One of the things I will often do is I'll create, and in fact, let me share the rest of these ideas, and then I'll just come back to that example. Create curiosity, use urgency, use scarcity, and use buzzwords. Okay, so one of the things I will often do in an appointment setting email is indicate that there's a limited number of appointments. So I might say something like, I might have an initial couple words, and then in parentheses I'll say, for the first 10 people who respond. That's a way of creating scarcity because then, you know, people know, okay, well, I need to be one of the first 10 people in order to take advantage of I could also state what it is. I could say information product strategy session, and then in parentheses for the first 10 people to respond. Or I could say, I could use create curiosity through a subject line, something like, are you ready to create an information product? And then in parentheses, learn how. So that would be perfect because it's asking a question. So the people who are going to be motivated to open that email are the ones who, you know, feel like, yeah, this might be a good time to create an information product. Let me learn how. Let me get some ideas. Or you could use the word tips or strategies or something like that, techniques. Use buzzwords. You know, what are the words that are going to grab the attention of your audience? I might say something like create new revenue with an information product. Tips to get started, in parentheses. So kind of play with it. In fact, when you're writing subject lines, one of the things I encourage you to do is to write about 3 to 5 different subject lines. Give yourself some options. And sometimes you might combine a few of them together to come up with an even better subject line. But exercise your creativity a little bit. Don't always just pick the first one that comes to mind like, oh, okay, this is good enough. You know, just stretch yourself a little bit, try a little bit harder, see if you can come up with something else. All right. Okay, let me go ahead and pop out onto the Facebook page here. Looks like we're up to 25 comments, so great job. Roy said, one appointment per day equals 5 per week over the course of the month. Yeah, 5 per week over the course of the month, so 20 a month. Roughly. Then Roy included a link out to my webinar on how to create an information product. That's available. The next time I'm running that is on October 8th at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And so you can go out to socialmediaoutcomes.com/infoproduct to sign up for it. Roy said, leverage email marketing in your business. Yeah, I'm not sure if I mentioned this last week, but I was taking some time just to reflect on things over the last couple weeks, and I jotted down on a post-it note the words pull back. And, I've been kind of hitting it really hard lately, sending out a lot of email messages, and I thought, you know what, let me just pull back a little bit, not send so many for a period of time. I've been doing a lot of live events. And so over this weekend, I didn't send out any email messages. Over the last month or so, I've been sending out email messages during the week and also on weekends. And so I just let it go over the weekend. I said, you know, what the heck? Let me just, let the weekend pass by. And, you know, sometimes you need to adjust what you're doing in your business. Just kind of tweak it slightly. You don't have to do, you know, I think there's a power in consistency in your marketing. And you certainly don't want to just kind of give up and shelve things and disappear for a while. But you don't have to work at the same pace or the same activity. You can change it up. You can adjust it. And I've actually been doing that on social media as well. I've actually been cutting down a little bit on the number of posts that I've been making out on social media. One thing that I have been doing, increasing in my business, is spending more time making phone calls. So I've been making more proactive phone calls out to my email list. What I've realized, and I've known this over the years, but there's a lot of people that don't open email messages. And so as I'm sending out emails, I tend to get, you know, many of the same people opening up email messages over and over. But there's a large portion of my email list who never open all messages at all. And so just trying to reach them through email is not going to get through to them. So I have to pick up the phone and call them. I have to do something else to make contact with them. So you have to know what's working, what's not working, make some adjustments, make some tweaks. And you can go through cycles over time. It reminds me of the product launch strategy. For a lot of marketers who launch new products, oftentimes what happens is before a product launch, they'll kind of slow down a little bit and let things kind of relax a little bit because they know as soon as they hit the launch for their product, they're really going to be, you know, hitting it hard and getting a lot of messages out there over a period of time. And so they want to kind of give their list a little bit of a break. Because, it's kind of like the celebrity who's out in the media too much and people eventually get sick of them. You don't want to reach that point where your audience gets sick of you. And so you have to have a period of time where you kind of lessen it a little bit, kind of step out of the spotlight for a little bit and then come back. And by the way, that's one of the great things about having joint venture partners, because you don't always have to be the person on stage. If you have joint venture partners, you can periodically promote and share them and let them have an opportunity to be out in the limelight a little bit. That's something that I do when I send out my newsletters, for instance. I always pick someone that I can share and spotlight in my newsletters. Roy said, leveraging technology to set appointments is better than playing email tag. Yeah, there comes a certain point where as you're sending out messages, people may not respond back. You know, you kind of hope that as you're going back and forth, it's just going to, the conversation will continue. But at a certain point, it kind of falls off the radar. So as much as possible, you want to keep the number of interactions minimal in order to accomplish your result. So again, if I have somebody email me, then I want to immediately email them back and include the link where they can go register. And that way for them, it's, you know, step one, email me. Step two, get the email and then respond back. Roy said, keep your messages short overall. Yeah, I think you can always take a look at your messages and look at what you can cut out. By the way, sometimes when I send out email messages, like if I send out an announcement for a teleseminar or a webinar, oftentimes I'll send out the initial message, and then I want to send out a reminder message. If I have an opportunity to promote something far enough in advance, I could probably send out another message a couple of days before it. So I don't want to use the exact same email or send out the exact email as is. I want to change it up a little bit. So one of the things I might do is just go through and then pull out a whole section. Find a section that's a little bit redundant where I don't really need the information in there, and cut that out. I also want to change the subject line and change the initial portion of the email. Because, you know, again, if somebody opens up the email message, you don't want them to immediately feel like deja vu. So change up the first couple paragraphs. Have a different message. Take a different approach. Get them interested. And then as they read through it, then it can have some of the same information in there. You don't have to rewrite every email from scratch. Repurpose. Roy said, avoid corporate speak. Use a breezy conversational style. Yeah, you know, corporate speak usually doesn't really appeal to people. It's kind of talking at people instead of talking to them. And, you know, sometimes it's using, you know, buzzwords that they may not understand. So, you know, just take a look at some examples of good and bad and figure out what your style is going to be. And you do want to develop a style, or you want to develop a voice to your emails. How do you want to communicate? Susan said, postscripts are very popular in email marketing. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, postscripts started with real letters that were mailed out and were adopted within direct mail sales copy, to where at the end of the message, the marketer would have a PS. They might have a PPS and a PPPS at the very end, which would just be additional information on there. But there's, you know, you have to think of the way that people read messages. People usually don't read marketing copy from start to end. It's kind of like if you're reading a novel versus reading a tabloid magazine. If you're reading a novel, you're probably going to read it word for word because you don't want to skip out and miss anything. But if you're reading a tabloid magazine, you're probably skimming and scanning through it, looking for the stories and kind of the points about the story that are interesting to you. So a postscript is a way of, you know, sharing additional information. People will scan through. And so sometimes they'll scan the first part of the message, they'll go through and read the postscript, and then they will go back to the beginning of the message and read it through again. They want to they want to get a sense of the whole email first before they really kind of commit to getting into detail about it. That's not everybody, but that is a lot of people. Roy said, postscript is the most important part of an email after the subject line. That's a pretty bold statement. That could be. But you still have to draw them in with the initial copy so that they'll want to read further. But certainly a postscript can be a very important important part. And again, I use the postscripts a little bit differently. Susan says, here's a link to my webpage where you can schedule an appointment with me. And she includes a link out to her site at presentationswithresults.com. Excellent. Thanks for sharing that, Susan. Susan said, Roy, why do you say the postscript is the most important? And Roy says, because people will often skip to the bottom of an email after reading the top. Kind of ties in with what I was just sharing a moment ago. So, yeah, absolutely. I think people often do kind of skim and scan through emails and then go to the bottom. But, you know, like most marketing pieces, it's not just one piece that causes the result. But really what I want you to do is I want you to think about what can you do in that postscript? How can you leverage that postscript? And, you know, most of my email messages that I send out to my list do include a postscript message. Cases where it doesn't might be if I'm just sending a like a reminder email or something like that. I might just have a very brief postscript or no postscript at all. One other benefit of having a postscript message is it puts distance between the person who's reading the email message and the unsubscribe line. So you don't want somebody to read your email message and then have, you know, here's your name and then here's the button to unsubscribe. So I like to have a little bit longer email messages so that as people are scrolling down, they kind of forget, you know, oh, yeah, I can go to the very bottom of the message and unsubscribe if I want. So, you know, a longer email message does give you some distance there before, you know, they have to kind of scroll to really get to that point. Even my email signature, the email signature that my system plugs in at the very end is pretty long. It's probably about maybe 14 lines. So there's a lot of stuff that's in the email signature itself. Roy says, let's see. Oh, Susan said, that makes sense. That's referring to the postscript. And then Roy said, an information product lets you sell the same presentation more than once. Yeah, the same product. You develop the content for it and then sell it over and over. Roy said, consider inserting a testimonial when you write customer stories. Yep. And, you know, oftentimes if you're doing a presentation like a teleseminar or webinar, you might share it as a customer story rather than as a testimonial. Testimonial is written in the words of your customer, whereas a story is usually kind of written from your perspective or like a third-person perspective. Susan said, include testimonials and or customer stories in your emails. And, again, that could be something that you add into the PS. It could be something that you include just before the signature line. It could be, you know, after your first call to action and your offer, then you include a testimonial there. Roy said, state your expertise. Yeah, if you have specialized expertise, if you worked in specific jobs that are relevant to your work, you know, just kind of lay out the foundation. And, you know, by the way, one of the things that I'm starting to do is kind of componentize, if I can declare that a word, componentize some of my email scripts. And so as I'm going through emails, I'm finding, like in a lot of cases, some of the ways that I start an intro for an email, sometimes as I'm doing like a second and third version, I will change up the text. And so I kind of lose the original version of what I created. And so I'm creating these little snippet files with so the expertise component. I might have three or four different types of snippets of or scripting around expertise that I could use in an email message. And so then now I've got these pieces that I can use plug and play in my emails. So it's just about getting organized so you can operate more efficiently and effectively. You want to be able to put together an email as quickly as possible. Don't always have to reinvent the wheel. Roy said, components of a marketing email. Number one, subject line. And then include benefits, social proof, and offer. Standardize your email signature. There was a couple more in there in the way. You can check your notes that I sent out for a full list of those. Susan said, I need to create an email signature block for my email newsletter. I noticed recently that I don't have one. I just have the closing and my name and then my address details that get response ads at the bottom. But that's not really a signature block. I need to fix that. Good. Good notice. Yeah, you know, check out what's available. And different email marketing systems have different approaches. Like the system I use, One Shopping Cart, I have to get my email signature approved. And so periodically I have to go in and change it up. Maybe a phone number has changed. Maybe something else has changed. Maybe I want to change the way that I'm reflecting my expertise. Maybe I want to change my offer. And so I have to go in and create a new email signature and submit it to the company to review and approve. So check out what the process is for your particular email marketing system and go in and do that. And one of the things I recommend that you do is pay attention to what other people are doing. What email messages are they sending out? What are they putting in their email signature? Susan said, is Zapier the system that Todd Lay talked about using? Yeah, I think Todd was the one who introduced Zapier to me. Again, that's Zapier.com, Zapier.com. It's an automation workflow tool. You basically go in and it will link out to your different systems, so it will prompt you to go log into your account, and so it will give Zapier kind of access to log in for you to different systems. But one of the things it allows you to do is to set up triggers or rules. So, for instance, you could say something like, if my Gmail account gets an email asking for blank, and have, a keyword phrase there, like if you find this, keyword phrase in the subject line, then go add a note over to my system over here for a specific action or a task. And so, one thing you could do is just go in there and start looking at all the different systems that are out there and then say, oh, here's the system that I use. Like I was out there one day and I noticed that Trello was in there. Trello is an organizing system. It's kind of like a things to do list where you use cards. So kind of imagine organizing yourself using index cards and then take that and put it online. And so Trello lets you set up all these different cards, and you can store information in there. And so, but it can be used as kind of a to-do list too. And so I created a rule which said if I get something in with this keyword phrase, then go create a card on Trello. And so it's kind of fun to play around with these things and just kind of play around with workflow automation and see what you can do. But that would be an example of it. Roy said, automate your appointment and registration processes. All right, we've got about 15 minutes left on the call today, and it looks like we are up to 37 comments, so great job. We exceeded our goal so far for today, so awesome. So let me go ahead and continue reading the comments that are out here. Let me just do a quick check here. Looks like we've also had a couple other folks join the call. Alan Murphy is on, Roy is here, Brian Hearn's on the call today, and also Susan Schlieff, so thanks for joining in. Roy said, tips for effective subject lines, be descriptive. Yeah, sometimes it pays to be a little bit more descriptive. And I'll just give you an example. Like if I'm announcing a teleseminar or webinar, if I've got time in advance, like maybe a week or two in advance, then I might start off with a little less descriptive subject line. I might start off with one that's more around curiosity. But once it's getting closer to that event, then I don't want to rely just on curiosity to cause somebody to open the email. I want to be more descriptive. I want to state something like, I might say something like October 8th webinar on creating an information product. That to me would be more descriptive. That's telling what people are going to get when they open up the email message. Whereas curiosity, it would be something like 7 quick tips to create an information product. That's creating curiosity. Well, what are the tips? I want to know what the tips are. I've got to open the email to read it and find out. Roy said, scarcity can create curiosity. Yeah, that's true. Scarcity and urgency can create curiosity. By the way, including a date in there does create a sense of urgency. If somebody sees a date in the subject line that's coming up soon, then they're prompted. In fact, here's a little trick here, is that if you have dates in your subject line, I think Gmail will flag that the email is important. They have a little symbol that they put on the email messages. And so when you see that that little symbol on there, you kind of naturally think, oh, this must be important. So that is a way to create a little bit more urgency around it, is by putting a date in the subject line. But, yeah, scarcity does create curiosity. Roy said, use buzzwords that connect with your audience. Yeah, like one of my buzzwords is social media. So a lot of my emails include the phrase social media in the subject line. But another one would be online marketing or information product. Those would all be buzzwords that kind of grab the attention of my audience. Or they say something like Facebook marketing. That might be a buzzword that grabs their attention. Susan said, Rick, do you find that parentheses works best in the subject line? I tend to use dashes instead, but maybe I should try parentheses. That's what Frank Kern uses. He uses parentheses almost exclusively. So I think it's okay to vary it. Sometimes I do use dashes. You can use a pipe symbol, which is the symbol on your keyword above the backslash where it looks like a straight line. That's called a pipe symbol. And so you could use that. You can also use colons. In fact, Todd Lay likes using double colons. He'll do two colons in a row in a subject line. So I encourage you to pay attention to what email messages that you're getting. When you see a particular format that you like, you might try it. But good question, Susan. Roy said, keep steps simple to maximize results. Yeah. Again, having one call to action in an email can be effective, not to make the process too complex. Sometimes I find in my email messages it starts to get complex. It starts to get confusing. And I have to kind of back it down a notch and try to simplify it a little bit further. So, if you start getting confused, just imagine your audience is going to be confused by your message as well. Roy said, develop your email voice. Definitely. Susan said, that's funny, Rick, about putting more email before they see the unsubscribe button. Yeah, like super short emails, it kind of gets right into that to where, they see the button. And, I don't like to try to entice people. Some marketers will send out an email and say, unsubscribe from my list. Now, that's pretty bold and brave. It is a way to cut down your list, but I would rather have somebody opt out because, it's just not a good fit for them. But for the folks who are a good fit, I want them to stay on my list. So I want to make it, to where they have to jump through a hoop a little bit to get to the point where they can unsubscribe. And it's not doing anything wrong. It's just, having more information in there. But I like having it after the PS because for some people, they just read down, and once they kind of hit your first signature, then they're kind of like, oh, that's the end of the message. So if they want to participate, if they want to sign up or do whatever, then they'll click the button above it. Other people, they're like, oh, I got to go straight down to the PS to find out what's going on here. Roy said, componentize is now officially a word. componentize, yeah. I don't know if it's the exact spelling of it, but I think that's pretty close to it, yeah. It's just, to me, it's kind of a concept of, Eric Laufham says the big script is just a form of mini scripts. And so in email marketing, an email message could just be a series of different email scripts that you develop. And so you can have different components to those. Like you could have, subject lines could be a component. The introductions, you could have different introductions that you use for different messages or your expertise section. But because if everything is just in an email, you don't really know which emails have the good stuff in it. And so as you start to write more emails, you might want to start pulling it together and you might label them as, oh, here are some intros that I can use for email messages. Here are some here's my expertise. Here are some good PSs that I could use. Whatever it is, just kind of breaking it down. Susan said, componentizing email scripts. Sounds like that could be turned into macros in MS Word to really make them plug and play. If that floats your boat, if you want to automate it through that, then yeah, I guess you could do that. I just do the old copy and paste. Most of the email scripts that I use are in a Notepad file. So I just open up the Notepad file, copy, and then paste into another Notepad file, and that gives me my message. Roy said, notes include full list of email components. And Roy said, Trello lets you organize yourself online. Yeah, what's kind of nice about Trello, it kind of looks a little bit like Pinterest, except like Pinterest is like public boards where people can add, like bulletin boards where they add pictures or pin them up there. whereas Trello is more like cards. And so you could just have text on a card, but you could also add a picture on it. And you can have multiple columns. So like the way you would create a to-do list on Trello would be to have a to-do, and then a doing, and then a done column. And what's nice is you can just kind of drag and drop a card from one column to the next. That's one thing that I think that kind of appeals to me. Like most of the time when you do task lists, you have a task, and then you go in and you edit the task and do whatever you need to do. But with Trello, you can just kind of drag and drop. So you can have maybe you have 10 tasks, and then it's like, okay, what am I going to do now? Okay, let me grab this one and move it into my doing file. And now I know here are the ones that I'm doing. I like having different technology tools that I can play with from time to time. I don't always consistently use everything for every particular purpose. And I also do use spreadsheets for a lot of things, but I like the flexibility. Sometimes I'll just feel like, oh, here's a project where Trello would be good, and then I might go and use it for that. All right, I think we're down to the bottom of the list. So let me add a couple final ideas here, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up the call. Now let me talk for a moment about, so coming back to this concept of setting appointments through email, what happens for the people who don't set an appointment? So if you ask them to email you and you email them and you give your link and then they go out and book, you know, schedule an appointment. So let's say that you had 10 people that contacted you and then you replied back to all 10 and let's say that 5 scheduled the appointment. Well, that means that there are 5 people who didn't. Now what do you do? Well, you could pick up the phone and call them. You could send a second email message. You could send a message through LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter or some other way. You could send out a postcard. So there's all sorts of ways that you can follow up afterwards. And, you know, how many times should you follow up? You know, I think maybe 3 to 4 or 4 to 5 follow-ups would be good. I mean, there comes a certain point where you're following up where, you know, it probably makes sense just to let it go for a period of time. I mean, one thing I know about my marketing is that sooner or later I'm going to have another opportunity that comes back up. And so if I have somebody who didn't respond, you know, even though they initially expressed interest, that's okay. Because I know there's probably something down the line that's going to grab their attention and bring them back into the process again. So, you know, trust in your own marketing that you're going to be able to reach out to those people. And again, you could just kind of let it lie for maybe 60 to 90 days, and then you could, you know, begin the process of following up again. Sometimes people are just, you know, knee-deep in the weeds. You know, they're facing a lot of alligators. And so, you know, sometimes you just have to let them have some space and then come back to them later. In fact, I did this recently. I had somebody, I was going through my, like old lists of prospects and leads, and I came across somebody who had expressed interest in having me build a website for them, like last year. And I realized, gosh, it's been almost a year since we last chatted. And so I picked up the phone and I called them. Oh, I know. The way that I came across them was I was going through lists of people that had opened my email messages. And the name rang a bell, and I was like, oh, yeah, let me go check my records. See, I'm a very diligent and persistent in being organized when I have conversations with people. And so I have files and notes every time I talk to people, so I can go back and I can see what our conversation was. So instead of just, you know, picking up the phone and calling them to touch base, I had a specific reason. I wanted to reach out, you know, hey, it's been a while since we had a chance to connect. The last time we talked about this. I wanted to, you know, see if you might be interested in, getting together and talking again, something like that. And what's interesting is within the week since I did that, they ended up responding to one of my emails and signing up for one of my programs. Different program than what I was offering before, but I have to wonder, you know, whether the fact that I picked up the phone and called and just, you know, touched base had an impact. And I think it does. My experience has been that whenever I have personal connections with people, whether it's having a phone conversation or, you know, leaving a voicemail or something else like that, or just, you know, sending a more personal message, that oftentimes they will then, you know, pay more attention to my email marketing and my results than otherwise. So persistence pays off. Follow-up pays off. They say the fortune is in the follow-up. And so when you have people who request an appointment, then make sure that you are following up over time. And I keep track of everybody who ever requested an appointment. And periodically I'll go back to that list and I'll take a look. Okay, well, here's somebody that, you know, wanted to schedule an appointment with me from 2012. Well, they never scheduled an appointment with me. Let me pick up the phone and contact them. So, you know, I keep track of all those details. That's just the nature of the way I am. If you're not that way, hey, that's okay. But you might want to think about how to implement systems and tools in your businesses that will help you to be a little bit more organized. To me, it's all about seizing your opportunities. When you have an opportunity, seize it. And sometimes it's not, you know, you can seize it, but, you know, the opportunity kind of slips away. But you know what? The opportunity is still there in a way. Sometimes you have to come at it from a different angle. Sometimes, you know, just thinking about, well, what is it that this person really wants? That's one of the reasons I love having appointments with people. I ask a lot of questions. I like to learn about what they're doing. You know, you may be talking about people and helping them in their business. You might be helping them in their personal life. The more questions I ask, the more I know about them, the more ability I have to understand where they are. And that's going to affect a lot of different things. You know, it's going to affect a lot of different things that are motivating them to want to take action. I also like to know what other alternatives do they have. You know, what other things are they considering? Because you know what? You probably have a lot of prospects where you've talked to and they expressed interest, and for whatever reason, they didn't decide to work with you. Maybe they chose somebody else or another company instead. That's okay. That's not to say they won't ever buy anything from you. So, you know, keep following up. Keep touching base. And even if they don't purchase themselves, who knows? They might give you a referral. So always stay in front of your audience. Well, that's going to wrap up our call for today. So I want to thank you for joining me. Hopefully you got a lot of information about, you know, not only just how to use email to set appointments, but also how to use email marketing overall. I ended up sharing a lot more than I usually do on this particular module around email marketing. But hopefully you've got some additional ideas that you can take and implement in your business. So thanks for joining me this week. Have a great week, and God bless.